eat, drink, breathe, and sleep the word according to your word, Lord God. As you have told us, Shema, why Israel, Shema, Elohimu, Shema, Isha. Hear, O Israel, that's us, by the way. The Lord your God is one. Amen. Actually, it says the Lord is your God and the Lord is one. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Want to talk about that one God for just a minute. Amen. Hallelujah. The world is rich right now with arguments and strife over who God is and what God is and what religion is the right religion, but that has been settled for a long time. Amen. Because God's word is true. It is forever settled. It is forever true. Amen. And it says in the word of God, thus saith the Lord. Amen. How many know when God says something, that's it, period. Amen. Yeah. That settles it. You can argue with it, you can fight it, and you can get mad about it, but thus saith the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Amen. How many gods are there?
One
God. Amen. That settles it. Praise God. Let's give him glory in the house. And his name is Yahweh. Yad He Bob He. One of our modern pronunciations of that is Jehovah, but there's no J in that language. Correctly, it would still be Yehovah. But it's still Yod Hey Vav Hey the way it's spelled. We have been talking about in the beginning God because the Word of God says Bereshit bara Elohim et. In the beginning, actually that means at the head of the beginning, before there even was a beginning, God Almighty, the one and only who spoke it all into existence, created, and that word they use for created is reused only in reference to him creating.
Amen.
Amen. And that et we know is Aleph Tav. We've talked it out before, just like it said here. That's the first and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, but it means way more than that. It means beginning and the end. It has to do with the one God. The very way it's spelled talks about the God above and the God below and the division, or we are joined together by the cross, by the nails that were in the cross. Amen. That last letter is literally a cross. So from beginning to end, everything God talked about, everything God spoke about, everything spoke into existence because that one God is Yeshua. Amen. And he spoke everything into existence. The word tells us everything was created by him and for him. Amen. And that he himself came in person, robed in flesh to accomplish the completed work of the cross. Amen. Let's give him glory in the house. Now, I don't know that everybody has caught everything that's kind of been going on in this series. And Brother Stephen and I have been talking about we're going to try and get this all on DVD all at one point so that we can have all this collection together. But we talked about, as Jesus was talking about the last days, if you want to go to Matthew 24, I'm going to be starting there in just a minute. But as Jesus talked about the last days, amen, and we'll go there and we'll read it. But he said, as it was in the days of Noah. Such shall it be in the times of his return.
Yes.
Well, we have skipped right over that. But when you want to start talking about the days of Noah, you got some powerful stuff there to talk about. Amen. And we've shared about that at several points, and I'll try to touch on it without going into depth because I want to get where we're going tonight. But in the days of Noah, we know that the fallen angels had children with human beings, and their offspring were called the Nephilim, and they were giants. massive giants. They also defiled everything that was on the earth. Every form of witchcraft and adultery and every kind of sorcery and drugs and alcohol and false religion and all these teachings came from that time in the days of Noah when the fallen angels defiled everything that was holy. They mated with animals, and there were literally animal human being creatures on the earth. The things that you see about the Greek mythology and the Hindu Indian mythology and Chinese mythology and all these things are based on that time before the flood in the days of Noah. Amen. And we can show through tracing of history and the actual languages that after the flood at the Tower of Babel, when God spread that all around the earth, that at the base of every one of those languages, it talks about these things. It talks about the flood. It talks about the one God, the true God. Amen? Yeah. And we're looking at the things that are happening as Jesus is telling us about these times. Because as he spoke then, he was talking about what we're getting ready to see, understanding that that evil that hated God so much and defiled everything would in these last days return. There will be Nephilim back on the earth. You know, right now the days of the week, the days of the month, states, overseas and countries are all named after Nephilim. If it's named after a Greek mythological figure, it has a basis in the reality of what happened in the days of Noah. The very image of the enemy, Brother Stephen and I were talking about this at lunch today, the very image of the devil being a pointy tail, pointy, having points, you know, and being kind of a goat, human, scary creature, has to do with a demonic force that was on the earth called Azazel. It's still in the Bible. The very word is in the Bible talking about it. And that was a half-human, half-goat Nephilim that was one of the main demonic powers, principalities that was on the earth. It was over all the demonic worship and the false religion and all these different things. The very scapegoat that they use in Israel to send out during one of the rituals as far as to forgive the sins of the people for the year, its name is La'Azazel, the goat that is sacrificed to the devil, that carries the sins of the people, and there's one that's sacrificed to the Lord during the Yom Kippur. But as we come through this, I want to get to the Word for just a minute, because we've got a little bit to cover tonight, and I want to get to the main points. The Word of God says, "For many shall come in my name," in Matthew 24, verse 5. "Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations. And then shall the end come." And that's the end of one age and the beginning of another. "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoke of by Daniel," and that refers to the temple in Israel that remains to be rebuilt, "the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand." Amen. Now, we talked last week about, in the Word of God, it says that the very stars that God put in the heavens were put there as a sign to his glory. Amen. And we were reading and studying about how that when Jesus was born, the Word of God talks about the wise men followed the star in the east. And there has been a lot of speculation about what that star was, and with modern astronomical software, we can actually turn the stars back and see what was happening in the stars. And scientists have said, well, there was no real star at that point other than Jupiter and Venus kind of got close for a little while, and that made a big star. But stars don't move, and stars don't stop, so it couldn't have been going before them and leading them and stopped over Bethlehem. But actually, when you study it out according to the way the Word of God tells us about it and how it would have appeared to the Magi, you can understand it. Now, in a nutshell, very briefly, this is a big involved teaching. The Magi were in Babylon. They were there during the time of Daniel. They were familiar with the teachings of the Hebrew people, and a lot of modern history teaches that the Hebrews picked up all this stuff from the Babylonians. It was actually, of course, the other way around. We know that these things were written down from the time of Adam. We have reference in scripture to Seth, his children, writing down on stone and on brick the covenants and the promises and prophecies of God. We know that all throughout history, the things of God were written down. When a lot of this came through Moses, it was a rewriting down of a lot of things that God had already given to many people. It was a fulfillment of that. But the history and a lot of these writings have been written down. Amen? The Word of God is true, and it happened just this way. They had it first. Amen? That God created everything exactly the way He said. But the wise men were in Babylon. They understood these teachings. So when they began to see a series of events in the heavens, and I won't go through all of it now, other than to share one little piece of it. It had to do with a king constellation, Regulus, and the king planet, Jupiter. And it moved across Regulus. Now, they would have been paying attention. They would have been watching this stuff. But the average person wouldn't see it. And the average person, when you look at the night sky, if you can even see some of these stars, and Jupiter's being one of the brightest, one of the largest you can see, they watched these things from their observatories, you know? And to look at it, it looks like it's sitting still. But they could track. They could tell its movement. So they saw it go across. And it happened to be happening in the constellation of Leo. So they knew that related to the Lion of Judah, the tribe of Judah. And right behind it, Virgo was in the heavens with the moon at her feet and the sun behind her. And that was very relevant to them. They knew that meant this meant the birth of a king. And it related to the Jewish nation. And it not just one time, because that happens every so often, but it went back again. That's much more rare. Now they're really paying attention. And it went back across again. Now this is something that has never been seen and will not be seen again. None of these events in the heaven will ever happen again in the history of the universe the way they did that time. Amen? Before time began, God programmed the stars like a clock to happen exactly during the conception and the birth of Yeshua Messiah. Amen. And as they got ready to go, they knew that a king was born. Now, Jesus was a small child when they got there. He was not in the manger, as is depicted on the Christmas cards, but it tells us in the Word that he was in a house by then. But as this planet moved again, and they were tracking it, it came in conjunction with Venus, the mother planet, and it also became the lightest, brightest star that had ever been seen. Amen? And then it continued on. Now, they were traveling at this point, and then they got to Herod, and they began to speak to him and tell him these things. And when they understood that this guy Herod can't really be trusted, they started heading on towards Bethlehem at some point later. But one interesting note was the Magi knew this, and they called planets wandering stars, because as we are on a moving object and stars are a moving object, at some point the rotation of how we're rotating and how the way they're rotating, it makes it look kind of like when you're on a highway with two cars and you're both going the same direction, but one slows down behind you and you kind of pass them, in your rear view mirror, it looks like that thing's going backwards, but it's not. It's still going forwards. Planets do the same thing. It's called retrograde motion. They have a little thing where they kind of do like that during the course of their thing, but at one point, it looks like planets stop, and then they start to go back the other way. And that's what caused where it looked like it was crowning, going back and forth across Regulus. But we know from the astronomical software that during that time in 2 BC, and this all started earlier in about 4 and 3 BC as they began watching it, this was over a long period of time. That's what they had to explain to Herod, all these events that happened over a long period of time. But one awesome thing was, is as they were leaving Bethlehem, traveling toward or Jerusalem, traveling towards Bethlehem, Jupiter was beginning to end its motion and stopped on December 25th in 2 BC over Bethlehem. Amen? Now that's awesome. Now Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, but I believe that's where a lot of that being associated with what was a later winter solstice and a lot of the Roman holidays that they got that, that's where they got that from. Jesus was born most likely during the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot, amen? There are two feasts yet to be fulfilled. Jesus was the Passover lamb. He was in the tomb during first unleavened bread, and he was the first fruits during the resurrection. After the counting of the Omer, 50 days later, on the Feast of Sukkot, or the Feast of Pentecost, as we know it, the Feast of Weeks, that's when the Holy Ghost was poured out. Amen? But just the same as all these stars were put in heaven before time began, like I said, at the head of the beginning, just the mind of God is so complex that he spoke all this out. He knew everything that was going to happen. He knew everything that was going to be. He knew the day he was going to come and clothe himself in flesh and be our Savior, our Messiah, the Son of God. Amen. The human being, Jesus of Nazareth. And there are the same thing. There were signs and earthquakes and splitting of the ground and volcanic ash that filled the sky and blocked out the sun on the day that he was crucified. And we know there was a blood moon that day. And Jesus is talking here about how you will see the abomination and the desolation of the temple. Which leads us to believe that during that 70th week of Daniel, or that time of the tribulation, that's the last part of that, that the church will be here. Amen. But what I want to share tonight, I don't want to get too much into the 70th week, but I want to get to the time where we are and what's leading up to and some of the things that are going on that are leading up to and that are meant to be there as a sign for us to understand, the same way the Magi understood what these things meant as a sign to us. Amen? Now, I want to put a disclaimer out because I'm in no way endorsing any form of astrology. Amen? That is something the Nephilim put into place. It is a desolation, a desecration of what God established. He put the stars in place, and the original 12 zodiac had to do with the 12 tribes of Israel. And everything he put there was a sign of his glory and his awesomeness. Amen? And they were meant to be a time clock that we could look at and see and understand. And there's some things going on up there, because Jesus said, look up, your redemption draws nigh. Amen? And you can't help but look at world events right now and understand that there is so much going on that we are rapidly leading towards the time that Jesus spoke of that precedes the time of his return. Now, I just want to cover a couple of little things tonight. There's so much going on. There's no way we can get into depth about any of this, but I want to at least put out some of the different things that are happening. Right now in the sky, there is a comet that they're watching that will be at its brightest point this November. The comet Ison will be the brightest, lightest, strongest comet that has ever been in the sky. There is and has been, it ended this July, since 1990, there has been a recurrence of an event in the skies that is extremely rare and very and amazing, and for it to keep happening time after time after time and getting closer and closer and closer together is one of these clockwork signs for us to see what's going on. They have what they call a sextant alignment, that is, six different planets and stars and constellations align to form one triangle forming up and one triangle forming down. They call it the Star of David alignment. That Star of David was associated in particular with David by rabbis sometimes at a later point, but it has specifically to do with Israel, the king of Israel, and the leadership of Israel. And like I said, this started in 1990, and it happened once, then again, third time, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Not one rare event, but 13. Why 13? How many tribes in Israel? There's 13. When you count the Levites, there's 13. Amen. Israel had 12 sons. Joseph's two sons took his place. Those are the 12 tribes. Amen. And the other son is Levi. There are 13 total tribes that have to do. The Levites don't have their own land inheritance, but they are counted in that as the sons of Israel. Amen. So it has to do with all of Israel, all the joined houses. Amen. The tribe of Judah and Ben that have to do with the Jewish people, or Judah, and all the other 10 tribes that have to do with Israel. Amen. So the same way that the star that pointed to the Messiah's birth had to do with the Jewish people and a kingship and things happening, we see these things happening, and they've led up to this time right now. And as they're leading up to this time, we are getting ready to come into a time where we are going to see something awesome that has only happened a few times over the past 2,000 years. And it's only happened twice the way that it's happening now. And we're a part of that last part of it. Amen? Around 100 or so, there were four consecutive, what they call blood moons or lunar eclipses. Amen? And they happened at a certain space. But then in about the 800s, they happened where they came on Passover and Sukkot, and Passover and Sukkot. Amen. And it just happened that the distance between the time that it happened and happened again, it happened four times here and then again four times here, and it was 48 years between here and here, and then it was 19 years between here and here. And we are in the last part of a series of that the last time this happened was, well, the first time it happened in this series had to do with four that came in 1949 and 50. Amen? Anybody know what happened around 1948? Israel became a nation. Amen? The next set happened around 1967. Jerusalem. Amen. They went to war and won back territory and got authority over Jerusalem. Amen. And the series of events that starting in 2014 Amen. Very wonderfully and amazingly, the events in the early 800s were 48 years apart and 19 years apart, 1948. These events from 1967 till now, they are 19 years apart and then 48. 1948, the birth of the nation. Everything that's in prophecy relates to Israel. Israel reestablished as a nation, the temple being back where it needs to be, and we know that the abomination of desolation will happen in that temple. Oddly enough, right now, actually the Muslim people who are so adamant against any Jewish person not even setting foot on the Temple Mount, about allowing a temple to be rebuilt. There is, right now, the temple foundation in Israel, they have every article in the temple that's necessary to begin worship and the ceremonies and all the requirements of the law and animal sacrifice. They have every vessel, they have the menorah, they have every clothing, every garment. Everything has been remade by the same tribes. They found the tribes of Dan and had them work on these. And they have been using genetic testing to find the true Levites. And they have schools right now, and they're training them. They are literally ready in almost a moment's notice to begin temple worship. Now, one reason that's very odd, because there's been so much animosity about there being a temple again on the mount where the Dome of the Rock is, one of the very sacred to them Muslim shrines, and this is probably the most disputed territory on the planet, because the dispute is much bigger than the planet. It has to do with spirituality, truth, and all eternity. But it's funny how, in the twisted way that the enemy works, by allowing this to happen, there will at some point be a treaty, and at some point the Jewish people will begin to rebuild that temple. And the deviousness of the plot is to, it's a false treaty to sign to have them rebuild it for them, because their entire purpose is to take it over and turn it into a mosque, to defile it. But we were coming into right now, in the next few years, we are going to see, like I said, starting this year in November, the comet Isa will be there. We have had the 13 celestial alignments that relate to the kingdom of Israel, the 13 Star of David alignments that count for every tribe and every part of Israel. And we know a big part of the fulfillment of prophecy is not just the Jews that are there now, but that there will be a mass influx into Israel, and there's going to have to be something happen that they are able to expand their borders and territory to be able to hold that. But we know in the 15th of April next year, or at Passover, there's going to be a blood moon on Passover, amen? That lunar eclipse exactly on the Hebrew festival, amen? On God's holidays. We know that anytime there's four blood moons, that in history, the sign that it has to do for, it relates to the Israeli people, to the Jewish nation, amen, it's signaling that there's going to be a very serious time of war and testing. We know that in 2014 there's going to be a lunar eclipse. And right in between these, on the 20th of March, on Nisan 1, the beginning of the religious year, the spiritual year in the Hebrew calendar, is going to be a solar eclipse. We know that on April 2015, Passover, again a blood moon, and then again 28th September 2015, there'll be a blood moon again. This one will be a super moon that's going to be so close to the earth, it is going to be extremely, extremely bright, and it's going to be an amazing occurrence in the heavens. But again, we are into that four blood moon cycle, and a lot of people have probably heard of that. And there's a lot of speculation about this, that, oh, this is happening. And Every time Israel gets somewhere where they're ready to sign a treaty for one thing or another, there's a lot of speculation. Oh, this is the treaty, this is the end times, and this is this, and this is starting the 70th week of Daniel. But there are a lot of things that actually still need to transpire. We know that even during history that God is God and he could do what he wants, but he said in his word that he would return when Israel was a nation, when the temple was defiled, and that all these things would come to pass first. And it tells us in several different places that Damascus still will be completely destroyed in a night. And Damascus is a city that has never been destroyed over its entire history. It's been there, it's been taken over and been occupied and all these different things, but it's never been annihilated in one night. And of course, Syria right now is involved in all these different issues, of course, with the different factions of the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda and all these different things. But there is lining up in the Middle East right now, there is going to be this effort. They're toppling every kind of dictator they can, and the whole point behind it is the one that takes his place is going to be worse than the one that's there, because they're trying to get radical Islam. The whole point is to get this caliphate formed, that they can get one kingdom, because that puts in place the ability for one Muslim leader to ride up. They are waiting for their Mahdiin, the Antichrist, to rise up. And that is the one who will make that treaty, that is the one that will lead us into the 70th week. But before we get there, we talked about the other week about the Ottoman Empire being the empire that will rise up and be the seventh and the eighth empire that Revelation talks about. That right now, Europe will be completely overtaken in the next 25 to 30 years simply by population. Because as populations get to a certain point, the European population is declining at a rate to where it cannot reproduce itself. Once you get below to where two parents only have one child, and then those and they only have one, you just go down to where that race basically can't even reproduce itself enough to fill the jobs that are there and so on, and it gets into decline to where it can't recover. But the Muslim population is increasing at a rate of 8 to 1 throughout the world. And as they get to a certain point where they have political... democracies work. You get to where you've got enough of a majority. You know, as you get close, they start leaning and hindering and catering towards that so they can get elected. And then at one point, that takes over. There are already Muslim Brotherhood candidates and people and factions in the United States Congress working, trying to get Muslim Brotherhood people elected into local positions of authority and power. This is not a racial issue. This is simply a political, spiritual reality of things that are taking place in the world. Amen? Now, as we approach this time and we see these blood moons and what they mean, I believe they're leading up to what is commonly referred to as the Psalm 83 war. Amen? Now, there's a lot of things that happen in the 70th week that have to do with the wrath of God and the tribulation that the earth will go through, but there is a long period of time, I believe, before that, that we're leading up to this. And one of the interesting things about these all these events in heaven is it's hard to find a place to get all this out. In about the 1100s, there was a great rabbi that predicted that at the time that the Jerusalem was overtaken by the Ottoman Empire, that it would be 10 jubilees from that time before the season or the time of the Messiah would come. And that just happens to be, that was in 1570, it just happens to be that 2017, as we get towards the end of all these blood noons, is that 50 or 10 jubilees, or that 500-year period. And 5 is the number of grace, 50 the number of the Holy Ghost. So 500, that's going to be an awesome time of explosion. That's going to be a time when there is going to be a massive turning of the Hebrew people towards the understanding that Yeshua of Nazareth Yeshua HaNazarai was the Messiah. They will see that he was the Messiah and will begin to understand about his return. Amen. There's some other events that are coming up. We know that right about that same time in 2017, once again, Virgo, just like it was on the day he was born, will be clothed in the sun with the moon at her feet and 12 stars behind her. Amen. Just like in Revelation 12. And I believe at that point, the messianic age is going to be born. I believe at that point, from about where we are now, we're in a period of about 30 years, 25, 10, 15, 20, 30 years between now and the time of the 70th week. Now, this is just based on some information that I have and have studied as far as what events that may still need to take place and the things that are building up as far as the coalitions and things in the Middle East. And I believe that this time that we're entering into is somewhere between now and 2020. In that time frame, it may be quite a bit sooner. We're going to see the war that leads up to the beginning of the time of peace that leads to the return of all these things as the Ottoman Empire rises up, because Babylon needs to be reborn and there needs to be this whole caliphate in place. And I believe it's probably a 20 to 25 year process for a lot of these things to happen. But as we see in the Word of God, and I understand this is just a lot of information, but I know there's so much on TV and radio that every time there's an earthquake, every time there's a flood, and oh, this treaty and that treaty and this happened, what does it all mean? What does it all mean? But I believe where we're at as we go through this next 2 or 3 years, as I've kind of been saying, I believe the next several years are going to be an amazing time of blessing and revival for God's people, but they're also going to be an amazing time of change and hardship. One of the other things that's happening out there in the solar system is they don't know exactly how to describe it, and I'm certainly no scientist, but I have studied the different prophetic teachers and the different scientists and looked at some of the NASA information, and some of the things that I have seen, it's referring to something out there beyond Pluto and Neptune in this area, and they call it Planet X. Because they're seeing things that they thought Pluto was a planet, but it's really not large enough. But the effect that it's having on Neptune is they can see it, you know, there's ways that they can figure out if a planet's there even if they don't see it. And they see it has a little gravitational effect on another large, planet. And they're seeing something causing this, but they don't. A lot of the mainstream scientists aren't necessarily saying whether there's a planet there or not. But everybody's in agreement there's some kind of force there. And one of the interesting things about this is because Jesus talked about in the end times, and we know that there's going to come a time to where the heavens are, there's going to be stars literally falling from the heavens, and the astrologers and all the scientists are saying, well, we study these things and we're tracking them and there's nothing that's anywhere near close, and well, you know, this one's about 1 million miles away and this one will be 1,000 years, so we've got all that under control. And about their time they're saying all this, something explodes over Russia that they didn't know was coming. Well, you know. But one of the things that's happening is this force out there, whatever it is disturbing the Oort cloud or all these asteroids, and they're being kicked out at a rate that's different than we've ever experienced. This is not the normal that came by 20,000 years ago, and here it comes again all of a sudden. So somewhere over the next 25, 30 years, we will see some of this stuff starting to get here, and the things that the Bible says are going to happen. The other thing about this force is every so often it exerts a force on the earth that causes things, like giant floods. But God said there wouldn't be a flood this time. But we are seeing not just the change in planet, climate change, as they like to call it, which is its own religion. But God himself said that all creation that he spoke into existence, just like we started out in this message, in the beginning, God created everything, amen? The language, his very language, he spoke everything into existence. Everything that can be known and understand, he put it out there before it even happened. And that whole creation is tied together. It's a living thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's part of him. He spoke it out. It's vibrating. And as spirituality becomes so dark and so wicked, creation itself that was designed to vibrate and glorify and honor God comes into travail. And as we get closer to this last days, we're going to see, amen, just like this typhoon that was in the Philippines, and it's not one event, but we're going to see that this was the worst earthquake ever. This is the worst typhoon ever. This is the worst this and the worst that. Amen? And one reason I share this message, amen, is to get to this part like we were talking about this morning, amen. But God. Amen. 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 I tell you what, we used to live in a little trailer, and I tell you what, man, you got that weather channel on, boy. You got that news channel on. You're tracking. What happened? Where's the storm at? What's it doing? Amen. Because when it got close, you knew you were going to go somewhere, you know, and we didn't have a lot of places to do. Get in the car and go drive around and maybe go park the car somewhere that seemed safe or try and find a friend's house with a basement. And it's the same way in these last days. There's a lot of folks sitting around saying, well, we've had storms before. Have storms all the time.
Yeah, well.
God gives us wisdom to pay attention. Amen. When they come on and say this is going to be the worst tornado outbreak ever, amen, it's a good thing to pay attention and make the necessary preparations. Amen. And that's why I'm sharing about this now, amen. It's a good idea if you live in Alabama, amen, to have at least a storm shelter, a safe place, or a friend, or some idea what you're going to do.
Amen.
Well, if you're a human being living on the planet Earth, and you know that sooner or later your body's going to expire, and you're going to have to go live somewhere, amen, it's a pretty good plan to have an idea what you're going to do, amen? That's why it's so awesome and so wonderful, amen, hallelujah, that we can, through the grace and mercy of Almighty God, amen, surrender our life to him. And wait, what may start out of that fear, amen? God will give you a reasonable fear, amen? When the Holy Ghost starts dealing with you, it can give you a little bit of reasonable fear because it makes sense to have a little fear and respect for tornadoes in Alabama. It's the same way it got God. It makes a little sense to have some fear and respect for the creator of everything. But the word in Hebrew, the tevira, the repentance, it's about turning towards him. About turning away from this stuff, but it's about turning towards him. Amen. You know, and a lot of times I know in my story it started out trying to get away from the drugs and the alcohol and trying to get away from that. But the closer I got, once I got a little bit of a handhold with God, amen, and got a few more steps between me and that stuff, amen, it gets easier, it gets better, it gets more awesome, amen? Because now I'm not worried about what I escaped from. I'm excited about where I'm going and who I'm going with, amen? There's more joy and peace in my life than I ever dreamed was possible, amen? Now, I don't play around with stuff and I don't go places where I don't need to go, amen? But I could care less about drugs and alcohol anymore, amen? Because God has set me free. He has delivered me. What I care about now, amen, is worshiping and giving Him glory for all that He's done in my life. Amen. He's given me my sobriety, my salvation, filled me with the Holy Ghost and give me a purpose in life. I've got a wife. I can't even figure out how I deserve to be so blessed. Amen. My children are so awesome and amazing. I just give God glory day in and day out. Amen. He's given me a life that I can't even imagine was ever possible. Amen. And as we walk into these times that are coming, one reason I talk about this, and I'll talk about the 70th week coming up, and I want to make sure everybody understands kind of the time frame I feel that we're on. And the reason I share about the rapture is because there's so much teaching out there that the rapture is going to become at the beginning. And I don't want to mess with anybody's theology, however you've been taught or raised, amen. You want to hold on to that, that's fine. But I'm just pointing out, we ought to at least give some consideration to what the Word of God says about us being here during that time.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'll teach on that specifically sometime so you can kind of understand what the Word of God has to say about that. But between now and that time, we need to be working for the Lord, amen? And we need to be smart. We need to be prepared. There's some things we're going to need to do. And whether it's a year or 20 years, amen, it's wisdom right now to build up a little bit of extra food, amen? It's wisdom right now to make sure you've got some preparations made, you know, and we will at some point during those times, in that 70th week, during the last part of it, you know, be doing a lot of farming and gardening and trading and a lot of those kind of things. But I think that's still quite a few years off. Amen. But what I want to talk about tonight is the awesomeness, amen, that all creation, as God spoke it into existence, had signs and omens and things in the heavens for us to watch and see the signs that He was coming. Just like the stars that proclaimed like a clockwork the birth of Jesus, there are right now things going on that are proclaiming in a fashion and an event like have never been seen before and won't be seen again, that we are coming into the age, we are coming into the time of the Psalm 83 war. There are going to be changes in the Middle East and Europe like you have never seen before. We have administrations all around the world, United States included, that are suddenly very, very sympathetic into socialist ideas. And everybody knows the portal for fascism starts with socialism, amen? Everything that we're doing, the enemy has everything established that all the good things we're doing to keep us safe are putting the framework into place that can be used to keep you prisoner. Amen? You got cameras on every street corner, every building. You've got right now in India, Russia, China, the United States, Canada. They've got supercomputers that are bigger than the supercomputers they had 10 years ago. Amen? And when these things are all networked together and everything's attached to the internet, and once they take over every camera on every street corner, every shopping center, and link it to these supercomputers with a software in it that know your face, know how you walk, have your health records, because the government has all the health records now, know everything about you. Everything you buy has a radio frequency ID tag in it or something more advanced than that, that they can track through satellite. They know where your Cheerios are 24 hours a day. Amen? And they talk about don't take the mark of the beast because that'll be used to track you. They already going to know everywhere you are. Amen? The mark of the beast, of course, will be the final thing during the 70th week, the last part in the tribulation. And you will... anybody who gets that won't get it on accident. Amen? That will happen when the Antichrist and the false prophet and all these false signs and wonders and the Nephilim are reestablished and they've defiled the temple, and you will be required to bow down and worship the beast and take the mark or be executed. And a lot will take it. And a lot won't. Amen? But it won't be a trick or anything that's going to happen by accident. It will be, you will be required to bow down and worship. Amen. And at that point, they may have holographic images that are projected into your living room, and they can watch you and see whether you do it or not. Amen. You know, just your cable TV right now, your satellite TV right now, is hooked to the telephone line or the internet. They know what you're watching, when you're watching, and you're not quite sure whether they're watching. Because we wouldn't know. You can FaceTime. It won't be long before Antichrist time. Devil's watching you. Amen. But in the time we have between now and then, God has given us wisdom. He's shown us signs in the heaven above, given us His Word and His Holy Spirit. Amen. That through His power and anointing, we will unite together in the thing I am talking about. Jesus said, fear not. Amen. The Word of God says it. Jesus will return to it like a thief in the night. Only to those that aren't paying attention. Amen. But He said, you're not asleep. You're not children of the darkness. You're awake. You know the seasons. You know the appointed time. You know my voice and you know when I'm coming. Amen. He said, I never leave you or forsake you. He hasn't left us. Amen. He sent His Spirit to dwell inside us. Amen. That between now and the time when He steps out of heaven at the final trumpet. Amen. And comes down and stands. And puts His foot down on Jerusalem. Which by the rapture, way the rapture is all of us joining together with Him and coming down right there. Because it said He would gather together His people from every corner of the earth and bring them together. That's the rapture, is His return. Amen. He draws us all together with Him. And we step down in Jerusalem in our new glorified bodies to live with Him and rule and reign for 1,000 years. Amen. He didn't leave us or forsake us. His power and anointing are with us. And it's like I was talking about. Just like on the day of Pentecost, amen, when He poured out His Spirit and those that were afraid and they were facing the Sanhedrin and the Roman guard, and the minute they stood up, they were risking their lives. It doesn't matter what political environment we're in, what we're facing, the Holy Ghost of God Himself is with us. Gives us power and anointing and boldness to speak the truth and say what's right and proclaim who God is, amen, and His name is Yeshua. Give Him glory in the house. And nothing against any other religion. It's just the reality that everybody, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, need the revelation of Jesus, amen. When you have that, wherever you came from, the reality of your Creator coming inside you, giving you the truth, gives you everything you need, amen. You begin to see truth because He is truth, amen. He's the source of truth, and there's nothing that's true that doesn't line up with Him. Amen. Jesus said, y'all are watching. You're paying attention. And just like the apostles who walked right into the place, they were afraid to go and proclaim the truth of Jesus to the world and turn the world upside down. Amen. They didn't walk in fear anymore because God was with them. And just like then, now, amen. He didn't give them more and us less, amen. He said, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh, amen. As we get closer to the time of his return, I feel we will have more Holy Ghost power than we know what to do with. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And we go forward boldly, because I tell you what, I know a quick way to get off crystal meth, and that's to get baptized in the Holy Ghost and stick with it, amen. When you get that new birth for real and you stick with it and don't turn back, amen, and just don't quit. The enemy's got the same old tricks. He just wants to cause division, wants to isolate you so he can eliminate you, amen. Let's just lift our hands and just shout his name. Amen. Jesus! I'm not turning back. I'm not going to quit. And I'm looking forward to your return. God, I praise you. I'm going to serve you. And I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do.